For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Good Friday. Easter weekend. Big weekend and a lot of sports going on as well this weekend. It's also this odd juxtaposition, Jeffrey, between Easter is Sunday, of course, but also Sunday is 420 day.
Mm.
When
it is risen.
Well, it's funny. I saw a t-shirt recently. It said, "He is risen. Jesus is risen."
Mm-hmm.
R-I-Z-Z-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be, I kind of thought it was cute. Would it be disrespectful? If I went to Costco, I plan to go to Costco today. I may see some of y'all at Costco. I'm going to, after the show, going home, and then I'm going to Costco. Claire and I are going to Costco. I'm going to get a slice of pizza. I'm already thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the hot dog deal, but I love the pizza more. So I'm going to get a slice of pizza. If I were walking around Costco,
yep,
with a shirt that said "Jesus is risen," R-I-Z-Z-I-N, would I be judged for that?
Are you going to the Hacks Cross Costco or are you going to the Germantown Parkway Costco?
What would be the distinction?
I think
disrespectful?
I think you would be more likely to get side eyes at the Hacks Cross one
because
it's,
you think it's a more evangelical?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Germantown's out there by,
I would suspect
Bellevue and all that's out there, out that way.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I consider myself an expert on this subject. I know my Costco's.
Is it disrespectful?
I would suspect most people.
He is risen indeed.
I would suspect most people wouldn't even realize that.
Wouldn't realize that it's misspelled.
Yeah.
that's probably right. 420 day, by the way. I had to look it up again. I do know that it's associated with marijuana consumption. And I'll be honest, I'm a little light on the marijuana consumption,
mm-hmm,
and have been for decades now. But I was thinking, okay, what is it again? Is it a police code? And at least according to Wikipedia, erroneously attributed the origin to a police code. The first High Times mention erroneously attributed the origin to a police code. This and other spurious incorrect origin stories became common. The actual origin story is 5 high school students in San Rafael. Do you know where that is?
I do. That's where I had high school friends or college friends that went there.
That's
in the Bay Area.
They were in 71. They were looking for an abandoned cannabis crop based on a treasure map made by the grower. They called themselves the Waldos because they met near this place on a wall outside the school, and they would meet at 420. And so that's sort of how this became a deal. One of them, I think, later became a roadie for the Grateful Dead, And
that checks out.
Away they went. Anyway, however you choose to celebrate, it is going to be a it's going to be a big weekend. I did also look up, Jeffrey, food associated with Easter.
Okay.
Let's pretend we were playing Family Feud, okay? And the category is foods associated with Easter. And the Wright family gets up there and you go, ah! And all of a sudden you got to blurt something out. What are you blurting out?
Ham.
So according to Instacart, what is more, the increase around Easter, like the greatest increase, percentage increase versus how much it's shopped right. Other times of the year?
The spike.
The spike, yeah. Indeed, you are right. Honey baked ham, 424% more likely to be ordered. You're just damn good at guessing, man. Mm-hmm. Hot cross buns.
Stuff that's not marketable.
Do people still do hot cross buns? That was a thing we did as a kid, hot cross buns. We had hot cross buns. I haven't had a hot cross bun in a long time.
I don't even know what it is.
How about other things that would... It looks like it's sort of a dinner roll with a... It's got the white cross on the top.
Yeah.
It's got this, you know, and then it's got some raisins in it, I think.
It looked like King's Hawaiians, but with a cross on top.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, what
just
else?
Just give me King's
Hawaiian.
Okay,
now the Wright family's up there. You've got control of the board.
Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs is number two. Ding! Ding! Now, number three, and I don't have the full category here. What do you think is number three?
This is
give me
where...
another one. And it's not, by the way, candy. That's a whole separate category.
Yeah.
Easter candy is a whole separate category.
So I don't think it's going to be number three, but the other one that I would associate with it is lamb.
So lamb is very controversial. It turns out lamb is, yes, you're right. It's on the list, but it's not
number
three. And then a lot of people say they hate lamb.
You got to know how to cook it.
People say lamb is polarizing.
Yeah.
It has a strong taste.
It has a strong taste, but also you can
take
the side. The side, yeah.
Number three, scalloped potatoes.
Okay, I can buy that.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I can buy that.
What will you be eating on this Easter? Will you be eating ham, deviled eggs, and scalloped potatoes?
I don't know if we'll have scalloped potatoes, but I think the other two we'll definitely have because my wife's making deviled eggs. And I don't know. My mom's in charge of the menu.
So there you go.
It still drives me insane. I would make the argument Easter is more fundamental to the religion than Christmas. There are no good Easter songs.
Oh, no, that's not. Well, no, there's no good Easter. I was thinking about this on the way in because this is the kind of thing I think
there
about.
There are no Easter songs, period, I guess, really.
No. There's no songs like Carol, Santa Claus is Coming, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer having to do with Easter.
Right.
Reindeer having to do with Easter. I think that one of the great hymns that I love singing on Easter, and maybe you didn't grow up in the faith tradition where this was it, was Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia.
Okay, I'll grant you that. That's a good hymn.
Oh, triumphant holy day.
I grant you that.
Alleluia. I can keep going. He who once upon the cross.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I love that song. It's triumphant. It's got trumpets
in
it.
It's big. It feels like the announce, like you're announcing he is risen.
Yeah. It feels like it to me, it's the equivalent of joy to the world.
Yes, I agree. I'm with you.
Joy to the world is like the fundamental Christmas.
That's what you close the service. You gotta close the
joy to the world,
yeah.
Baby. Yeah. And Jesus Christ is risen today. Those are bookends. Now, Thanksgiving.
And then Snoopy music.
And then beyond that, there's not a lot of Easter. A lot of Easter songs. I agree with you. There's not a lot of lighthearted Easter songs. In terms of the candy, by the way, top 10 Easter candies hopping into Instacart carts. Yeah, guess what number one is?
Peeps.
No. People don't actually like Peeps. No,
chocolate bunnies.
No one. Let's be honest. Nobody likes Peeps.
Totally agree.
Who the hell? Why Peeps survive is a total mystery to me. Reese's peanut butter eggs. And then second is Reese's peanut butter cups. And then third is Cadbury chocolate mini eggs.
And I always shout out Cadbury. Like they recorded that advertisement in like 1994 and they just keep playing it in standard def. Right.
How do you feel about jelly beans?
Not my favorite.
Really? You don't like a jelly bean?
Not really.
Then they have Starburst jelly beans.
Yeah.
That's a variation on the theme.
But
anyway, happy Easter.
I'd rather have Starburst.
For those who celebrate, happy 420 day. Also, to those who celebrate, we got Memphis Tiger stuff to talk about, obviously, as P.J. Hegarty has apparently flown the coop. And we have Grizzly stuff to talk about because the Grizzlies take on the Dallas Mavs today. Chris Harrington will be no Jason Smith today because he is traveling. And so we gave him the day off. He asked for the day off. We gave Jason the day off. So it's just us. And except Chris Harrington will join us at 10 o'clock. And we sort of had a choice here, Jeff. We're going to talk to Grizzlies, obviously, talk Chris about the Grizzlies at 10 o'clock. But we had a choice. What do you lead with? Do you lead with the bad news? P.J. Hegarty entering the portal? Or do you lead with the big game tonight? Massive game tonight with the Dallas Mavs?
I think the news from yesterday is more timely. Because
it's more pressing. It's more timely.
We've been talking about the Mavs game.
Okay, fine. I was going to go the other way just to lift spirits. But no. That's fine.
It's the Jeff Calkins show.
So P.J., it is true. It is true. It's the Jeff Calkins show. We'll start. We'll go. I like to walk on the sunny side of the street, but we'll do it your way. We got the news yesterday that P.J. Hegarty has entered the portal. We got the news yesterday that Dane Danger has entered the portal, and then we got the news from Dane Danger on Twitter. Not so fast, my friend. All seems kind of moot with Dane Danger because no one expects him to get the waiver, right?
Yes. So I think Jason and I were talking about this yesterday. I think our boy Jaquan Walton tried this move too. I think he went into the portal without
Naquan.
Any eligibility.
Yes. Naquan. Is it no Jaquan Walton?
Jaquan Walton.
Yeah, no,
not
right.
Naquan
right.
Tomlin.
Tomlin. I'm sorry. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
I think Jake. Yeah. I think our boy Jaquan tried this move as well.
So it's a like that. That's great. It would be magnificent to have Dane Danger back. One of the things I was talking to John Martin about yesterday was how much did P.J. Hegarty make Dane Danger, or did Dane Danger make P.J. Hegarty? And I guess my answer is that P.J. Hegarty was P.J. Hegarty before Dane Danger got good over the course of the year. Like,
yeah,
P.J. Hegarty is going to put up buckets no matter where he goes.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Dane, though, found himself. And if he could come back as a college player, I think he would be spectacular for Memphis. And here's the other thing. A little bit of a controversial opinion. I think people like him better than they like. And easy for me to say now that P.J. Hegarty's in the portal. I think people kind of like Dane Danger better than like P.J. Hegarty. I think you connect more with Dane. Like, Dane Danger is more fun.
I think, though...
He's more fun!
I think, though, that it is... It's not necessarily personality. I don't think it's anything other than
it's just awesome to see
a big man run the floor.
No, that's what I'm saying. There is his game is fun.
Yeah.
P.J. Hegarty's game, like, listen.
It's a lot of Harden. It's getting to the line. It's honestly.
Again, this is going to sound like sour grapes now that he apparently gone. Although the University of Memphis is not, so it may not be gone, but whatever. Compared to Kendrick Davis. One of them was an All-American at Memphis. One was not.
Yeah.
Right? Who was more beloved?
Probably Kendrick.
Yeah, not even close.
He did have the ball in his hands more, too. Like, that's kind of the other Dane thing. It's like
he's flashier.
Yeah.
He was a personality.
Mm-hmm.
He constantly expressed his love for Memphis and Penny. Like, I think people would run through a wall for Kendrick Davis, even though he was here for 1 year. P.J. Hegarty, you love the numbers. You love the numbers. Not a fun game. Honestly, you know, he wasn't bombing it in from three, and he wasn't, you know, he was getting the line a lot. It was a great relief to have someone who could go to the line
and make free throws.
And make free throws.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, let's be honest. This is a massive blow. This is a massive blow to the University of Memphis, and it doesn't appear like Dane Danger is going to be riding in to save the day because no one believes that even if he is. Still loyal to Memphis, still coming to Memphis. No one believes that he's going to get the waiver. Who knows? Maybe the NCAA could finally capitulate and give everybody waivers for everything. But no one seems to think he's going to get
There's a lawsuit going on in North Carolina.
I saw that. About Duke. It's Duke students.
And Carolina. Duke and Carolina
together,
came together.
Working yes. together on this. They are.
They're
challenging the 5 year and the 4 years and five rule.
Right. They're basically saying.
Well, and here's another question. Yeah, they're saying you should get 4 years. They could be over 8 years. Why do we need this artificial? Well, that's an interesting point. Why do you, in fact, need the 4 years to be over five?
I mean, I could also argue
I could also argue though
eligibility itself is a non-compete. If I'm a student in good standing, why should it matter?
That's true. If I'm a student in good standing,
why does it matter?
Why are you putting on these artificial rules about how many years I have to do it?
Correct.
Yes, I'm a student. I'm on the 8 year plan. That could be the next.
They're called doctors.
That could be the next argument. But anyway, so who knows? Seems unlikely. It was a massive blow to Memphis. I don't think it was unexpected. If you read my column immediately after, and I hope you did, people. I really do hope you did. Immediately after tournament ended, I wrote a column.
Says the man that will read nothing after his team season ends.
That's true. That's a fair point. I do not read anything after a loss.
You read any AFC championship game recaps yet?
No. I read absolutely nothing after a loss. The headline on the column was "Why the Future is Dicey for Memphis Basketball," and "Why Hardaway Matters Even More." That was the headline. And the first paragraphs, Penny Hardaway had just watched his Memphis Tigers get bounced from the NCAA tournament when a reporter asked him, "What's the key to winning in college basketball these days?" Hardaway didn't hesitate. He didn't reach for the cliches. He didn't talk about implementing the right strategies or cultivating a positive culture. He told the blunt truth. In the overall scheme of things, it's about the money, to be very honest with you. I still try to have some relationship with the guys, but in this era, it's more about who can give you the most money. Then Hardaway headed off into the offseason to try and find enough money so that P.J. Haggerty will stick around. Haggerty himself was appropriately vague on the topic. No reason to discourage any teams that might want to submit a bid. But Hardaway's assessment underlines the difficult reality facing Memphis and in any other program outside biggest, richest conferences in the land. If money is what matters, how can Memphis compete with programs that have more? And so there you go. My understanding is that Memphis scrounged up a lot of money,
turned up all the cushions,
looked under the, around the minivan and
who's got the change cup
and let's be clear. They're not even broke. Like relative, to other AAC schools, they're loaded. Right there,
you can talk me into they have more money than the rest of the league combined.
I think that's very possible. So it's not like there's some, you know, it's not like, in fact, they are passing the change cup. They just don't have $5 million for P.J. Haggerty. Or like that's the crazy number that you hear tossed out there. But I mean, let's be clear. Nico left Tennessee because he wanted four, right?
Yep.
And if P.J. Haggerty is asking for five or even in that ballpark, this is it's not lunacy because people are happy to pay it. Someone will pay him lots of money.
I don't know, happy, but.
Right. We'll pay him lots of money. So I don't begrudge P.J. Haggerty or his father for trying to get as much money as possible. Most of us would. But it is a blow that Memphis can't retain a player who had an All-American season here, got better under Penny. Like everything that everything outside of the money couldn't have gone better. Get to the tournament, win big games against big teams. Yeah, they could beat Colorado State. All-American, high profile, liked Penny. It was so sweet now looking back at it, thinking about those fans. one more year. Penny asked him. Penny asked the fans, you know what's going to really sway P.J. Haggerty? Feeling the love, Jeffrey. That's what's going to feel. That's what's going to sway P.J. Haggerty is feeling the love. Let me ask you, did feeling the love sway P.J. Haggerty? Yeah, no. No.
Is feeling the love, though, code for pony up?
Pony up. It could have been that. It could have been that. It could be how they raised the money. And so there you go. So it is a huge blow both for the team next year. Because, listen, if P.J. Haggerty had come back, all of a sudden these pieces, and they picked another one up yesterday, Zach Davis, you could have heard him on 92.9 with Jason and John. I went back and listened to that. I didn't catch it live. I wasn't listening at that moment. But they had the first interview with the 6'7 wing from South Carolina. All the pieces start to make a lot more sense when you're putting them around P.J. Haggerty. Everything makes more sense when you're putting it around P.J. Haggerty, right?
Sure.
He's the fulcrum. And now it's so next year, let's be honest, they'll still have a better team than almost everybody in the AAC, maybe everybody in the AAC. But it is certainly a blow for next year. To me, though, the bigger blow for me psychologically as I thought about this, as someone who's now covered Memphis sports since 1996, is just kind of what it means. You know, it once upon a time, if you, and let's be honest, Memphis's willingness to pay under the table was always one of their secret advantages. You know what I mean, Jeffrey?
Like, absolutely.
Like, but back in the days of Keith Lee, who preceded me, and Penny Hardaway, but then on to D'Angelo Williams, right?
Sure.
It was about, but particularly for the, it was about growing up wanting to be a Tiger, particularly for the basketball program, growing up wanting to be a Tiger. It was about, you know, being able to have your mom in the stands every day. It was about tradition. It was about all of that. It was about, a history of success. It was about the atmosphere. And it was about the money in the shoebox, right? It was about all those things, a willingness to sort of bend the rules, right?
Take care of your people.
Take care of your people. Thank you, Jeffrey. And a willingness to take care of your people. And in that world,
relationships,
in that world, Memphis could get Penny Hardaway and keep him for 2 years, right? 2 years. Memphis could
well, he had
get,
a yeah, yeah, gray the one, shirt
the,
or whatever.
The four, yeah. Memphis could get Keith Lee and keep him for 4 years. Memphis could get D'Angelo Williams and keep him for 4 years. Memphis could get Chris Douglas Roberts. Memphis could get Antonio Anderson. Memphis could get, like, right down the line. Think of all the athletes who have been here.
Rodney Carney.
Who have stayed and created unbelievable memories for you. I think D'Angelo, his first year, ran for 900 yards. I don't think he cracked 1,000 his first year. In this universe, D'Angelo Williams would come to Memphis for 1 year, and then he'd be offered, what do you think of running backs these days, SEC running back?
I mean, at least $500,000.
More. No? There is, with all due respect, it was shocking that he stayed what he did, that he didn't
so his
go
first
to the
year, his first year, 103 carries.
900.
Six hundred eighty-four yards. He had 735 yards from scrimmage and 5 touchdowns.
You could already see his greatness, though. You could see his greatness looming, and he would be picked off. And some, yeah, maybe they'd offer that guy $500,000. By the time the next year, he was clearly, you know, one of the best running backs in the country.
Yeah, probably somewhere between 800 and a million.
And so then he's gone.
800,000, yeah.
And then he's gone. So I just think it is. And John has a column, I don't know if it's up yet, whatever, calls it an existential threat to Memphis sports. I think it's an existential threat to Memphis sports. How do you fill a basketball stadium? And mind you, they don't anyway now. They don't fill FedEx Forum. But the tradition here of Memphis basketball has been crowds of 10,000 people anyway, let's just say, coming to see a basketball team that they've fallen in love with. And they've fallen in love with it either because it's players from Memphis or because it's awesome players. It's Derrick Rose and it's all the players who you've loved over the years. How do you do that for Zach Davis? Sincere Parker, I think, is visiting today, and there's some thought that he might well be the next one. A team that is recreated on the fly from pretty good players at, so far, what do we got? Temple, Western Kentucky, and South Carolina. Like, how do you fall in love? How do you get 10,000 people?
I mean, I think there's a real question, though, is the romanticization of college sports dead?
Well, yes and no. So the thing is, though, it's a different situation. It is a different situation for...
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
For Ole Miss and Tennessee, you can hang on to Jackson. Like, you can hang on to the pieces that enable you to have, that enable you to think, you know what, these are the guys that I'm building. There's enough. You can keep enough that year in year, and you know also you're going to be good enough that you show up on Saturday or whatever, and it's going to.
Yeah, I think, though, so Cobb and I talked about this because I've noticed this year in college football, it felt like, for the most part, schools that wanted to, big boys, small, like everyone in kind of in between, the ones that wanted to keep their guys, they did it at a much higher rate. In college basketball this year, basically, like, Braden Smith at Purdue, like, he stayed, but it was almost like universal. Everyone just went into the portal.
I it's funny. I
Baylor lost their whole roster, Jeff.
I don't worry about Ole Miss football fans not showing up at the stadium. I don't worry about Tennessee football fans not showing up at the stadium. I don't worry about Alabama football fans showing up at the stadium. I don't worry about Ohio State football fans showing up at the stadium. I worry about Memphis football fans showing up at the stadium. But even more to the point, I really worry about Memphis basketball fans showing up, because what are you grabbing onto? And if you're just going to be awesome, like, there's going to be great turnover at Duke, right?
Sure.
But they're going to show up because they know they're going to be awesome. So
they have a $12 million roster.
If you can't show up because of the continuity, you're at least like, whoever they have, they're going to be awesome. At Memphis, you don't have the continuity. And you don't know they're going to be awesome.
I guess the only thing I would say in response to that is, of all of the preseason or whatever, off-season rosters to get excited about, this one was on the significant lower end in terms of enthusiasm, the team that we just saw. That team was a good basketball team.
Well, I'm missing the point.
So if you think back to where we were in the offseason asking about the roster.
Coming into last year.
Correct. Everyone was pretty, whatever. I mean, there was not a great deal of excitement.
Right. And you're saying any team is capable of, now mind you, tickets, attendance was down again this year.
Yeah.
But you're saying any team is capable of creating excitement.
Yeah.
That is true.
It does get hard.
You brought in a guy who was scoring 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
You brought in two players who've been on deep tournament runs. Tyrese Hunter had been on a deep tournament run. And so who is the PJ Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter? You're right. That we were skeptical, but mostly we were skeptical. I think it was less about the class that was coming in than it was what had just seen from the class.
There's no question the momentum
of it was the fact that, what do these guys mean anyway? You bring these players together and they turn out they're just playing for money and they hate each other. That's where it wasn't really, John was skeptical about PJ Haggerty. It was less about the skepticism about the players than just this isn't going to work because I just saw it didn't work last year. Who the hell? You tell me right now, who are you excited about if you're a Memphis Tiger basketball fan?
I mean, I guess I would also argue it's not over.
No, it's not over. No, it's not over. And they will have the money that will be liberated now to spend on other players. Again, I expect them to pick up someone else today and going forward. So maybe I'm being too doom and gloom about it. The other thing is that at least some of the conversation is that Memphis football, I know there's some bad feelings between Memphis basketball and Memphis football because Memphis football is supposedly, at least relative to some, being taken care of.
I mean, I think that was, I guess maybe I'm the bad guy here, but I'm sitting there, I'm going, what did you expect? Of course this was. There wasn't going to be an endless supply of money.
No. There's not an endless supply of money.
And this was.
It is about priorities, though.
This was always going to happen.
Well, should it happen? I mean, there's no, you could argue that either way, and that's a discussion they've had on Jason and John a lot, is that.
What do you prioritize?
On the one hand, I think we accept that the original sin in terms of conference realignment for the University of Memphis was always putting basketball ahead of football, and it cost them. And had they elevated football like Louisville did, they'd be in a better place. And not only that, it's still true that the key to getting into a better conference is still being really good at football. So that's the argument for prioritizing football. Plus, by the way, 18,000 people go to those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people actually like football on Saturdays. I do. Like, it's a fun scene. So, you know, they say 30,000 go, but 30,000 don't go usually. If we're talking real numbers, you know.
It's probably three times the amount of people.
Three times the amount of people go to football games. Yes, a football game. Yeah. It's a bigger stadium, but you could have a much bigger basketball stadium and you'd still get the same 6,000 people.
Correct.
The limit with basketball is not the size of the stadium because you could fill it up to 18,000 and they don't. So, so that's the one argument. Football should be prioritized. The other argument is that, yeah, come on, man. Realistically, the conference realignment ship has sailed. So let's compete in the one thing that we can be nationally relevant in, which is not and has never been and never will be football. That's the counter. And that it would make sense if you're telling me there's still a path to a better conference. But if we're conceding there's no path to a better conference, what are we doing here?
All right, I'll be hand-raised guy.
Which is it?
Uh-huh. Well, no, I'll be hand-raised guy.
Yeah. You don't think there's a path to a better conference?
Well, no. I'm just saying, what is the evidence that suggests you can be nationally relevant in basketball in this era?
You look at the Big East. You look at the Big East where they are, in fact, pouring all their money into basketball, and they still become nationally relevant.
But are you going to still have a football team? Because you're going to still have to pay them.
You're going to pay them much less. You're going to, under this scenario, you're going to screw the football, and you're going to say the hell with it. You're going to treat football like UConn treats football, and you're going to pour the money into basketball.
Yes,
you do still have a football team. You're not.
I think the only way you can do that,
and
is
I'm
literally
not arguing for it. I'm just presenting.
I think you'd have to literally play FCS football for that universe.
I don't think you can just screw football.
Right.
Now, maybe, and again, we don't know the numbers. Maybe it's possible that, you know, a million here or a million there should be shifted. But the truth of the matter is, I think, Ed Scott is asking my opinion, you have to try, boy, this is going to be a courageous stance, you have to try to do the best you can by both. In an imperfect world where there's not enough money, you give both not enough money.
Yeah, and I guess I will also pump the brakes a little bit on the whole panic meter. It's unclear to me if this is going to be the price tag going forward or if this is an unusual year in which everyone panicked. And
it's also true that Seth just stayed 4 years. You know, so I'm saying, well, it never happened. It just happened. Quarterback just stayed 4 years.
But he might literally, I think it's possible Seth might be like the last 4-year star.
And by the way, while we're being on our high horse about P.J. Haggerty leaving.
He came to you.
Memphis stole him from Tulsa.
This was my argument yesterday. Is
you're getting screwed. Oh, yeah. You just screwed over Tulsa.
Well, and you're just going to go take some.
Now you're going to go take some from somewhere else. Yeah. Really, it's just a version of the broader world.
There's always a bigger fish.
All right. We'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock about the Grizzlies, and we'll talk about it amongst ourselves as well. Massive game tonight. Tickets available at FedEx Forum. I've come completely around. I think it's going to be fun. Go Grizz. And I very much I reject the arguments of people who've been trying to tell me that a lottery pick is meaningless. Totally reject it. But winning is more important. And when it could be fun tonight. It could be really fun tonight. You could get a whoop that trick, man. You could get a whoop that trick in springtime in Memphis. That's a reason to go buy a ticket right there. We'll talk more about that and more. Chris Herrington, straight up, 10 o'clock. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Last thing on this, Jeffrey. Everyone says they hate college sports and hates what it's becoming, right? Universal. Everyone does, right?
Except the ratings.
Right, except the ratings.
We watch.
What do you make of that? Like, is it ever going to corrode the ratings, or is it, in fact, does it corrode attendance, or is it going to – does it corrode – maybe what it does is the ratings will still be high because there will be high-level games between SEC teams and whatever else, and so that will always be high. But at places like – as the haves and have-nots become – the divide becomes more pronounced.
Right.
It will corrode interest in – middle class programs and attendance in middle class programs will go down. When Memphis has never been a catalyst for TV ratings, right?
Right.
Period. Alabama's a catalyst for TV ratings. Memphis not involved. So the big brands will continue to drive the ratings because they're big brands, and the lesser brands, the middle class, will, just like as in America, fall off. Will it not chip away at attendance at Memphis football?
So
I think it already has. I'm sorry, yeah, interrupting. I think it already has chipped away at attendance for Memphis basketball.
I think that's true. I think what we're seeing is a transition into college sports is becoming a television product in general, and so I think it's probably corroding nationwide. It's corroding attendance because you're sitting there just going, "All right, I'll just
stay home and watch the watch the 16 teams that matter play each other."
Correct.
Just like the Sweet 16 this year.
Now the question also becomes is that a sustainable business model? Because you need more than just the TV.
It's a sustainable business model for Alabama. It's not for Memphis.
Well, even Alabama needs the $25 million they make every football game. You know what I mean?
Right. There's enough pageantry, and people will keep showing up for greatness, right?
Part of the reason why Nate Oates is worth it to them is, all right, look at now, they've got, I don't know, 20-something home games where they fill it up,
right,
and they're making a bunch of money there.
Okay, onward we go. Grizzlies tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. And yesterday we had the big discussion about whether...
Do you want the final results?
Oh, sure. What were the final results of the Jeff Calkins Show poll yesterday?
The final results, Jeff, 602 votes. That's a pretty high number of votes for us. For Grizzlies fans, what do you want to happen tomorrow night against the Mavericks? 59.5% said win and play the Thunder. 40.5% say lose and keep the draft pick.
Okay. And I think you people are on the right side of this. Not because a draft pick isn't useful. A lottery pick is useful. First of all, it's useful for us as a discussion point. You get to follow the draft. You get to watch lottery night. There are compensations if they lose tonight, right? There will be compensations, and you could get a player who is like Derek Lively was to the Mavs last year. Seems like a useful player to me. This idea that all of a sudden we don't need any other, do not confuse it. I don't know anyone, including the Grizzlies front office, who doesn't believe that they need better veterans around their core three, right?
Yeah.
Of course. That's what their priority is. That doesn't mean that it isn't helpful to have as many good players as possible, even if they're good young players. I don't know. Seems like Zach Edey and Jalen Wells, the rookies on this team this year, didn't carry him, won't carry him deep into the playoffs, seem like useful players to me. The idea that it's just, I don't want that, like it'd be a net negative or something, is just crazy. It's a positive. Someone said to me on Twitter, they said, overvaluing that first round pick is crazy. Yes, it is. Because you just said overvaluing. Overvaluing it would be crazy.
Yeah.
by definition, overvaluing.
Right, you're crazy. You're thinking irrationally.
Undervalue it, also crazy.
Yeah.
You know what's appropriate? Appropriately valuing it.
Yeah.
That's what's not crazy, and I think I'm appropriately valuing it as a useful piece if you'd spend that draft pick, or a useful trade pick piece if you trade the draft pick. Would be some small compensation, but would not be meaningful enough to compensate for the just sheer misery of losing to Klay Thompson, the Mavs, on your home floor and being bounced from the playoffs when just less than 2 months ago you were second in the West.
And just it's a consecutive year of just sitting and watching the playoffs.
And I think the point that Chris made yesterday, which is, listen, hope is a hugely important part of sports. And for a fan base, you need some hope. And I don't know that beating the Mavs aren't very good, and then losing in, say, five-game series to Oklahoma City is going to do a lot to restore hope, but beats the hell out of losing to the Mavs. And what we've seen and what you saw the other night is these games are different. Like, if you have wondered about the significance of regular season basketball all year long, God, these guys, they don't show up and play. They don't, like, what? You see the switch. It was a fierce game the other night. It will be a fierce game tonight. And any games against Oklahoma City Thunder will be desperately fierce games. And there will be wonderful, fun moments, and there will be foxhole moments, and we will all feel like you're in it together, and you will grow to hate the Thunder if you don't already. And it will make you feel some kind of way. Even in a loss the other night, I felt kind of proud of them, the way they fought. Didn't you? Like, I know you're not into moral victories, and I would not say I'm into moral victories. I admired the guts. I liked them more after that night, a game the other night.
I was happy to see, like, the intensity on Dez's face and the trying to will his team to win.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I still got irritated. If they would have done that,
you look back at squandering a 20-point lead to the Bulls in the first month of the season, losing two games to Brooklyn. It's crazy.
Getting dog walked by Portland.
And they did it to themselves. The message came from the top down.
Yes.
We don't care particularly.
Yes.
This is just a laboratory. This is just a laboratory.
It's all about getting to the playoffs healthy. Did you do that again?
Yeah. No, I agree. But I like the team more. And I think seeing them in a fierce playoff, even if it's ultimately unsuccessful against the Thunder, I think would create some of that momentum. But and for a fan base, by the way, that needs it, because even when this team was really good at the start of the year, they weren't drawing what they should have drawn, but what you would expect a team in second place in the West to draw.
Yeah.
They were down to the bottom of the attendance.
Maybe look at your pricing.
So. Yes, but you still do need enthusiasm.
I agree.
You need enthusiasm, particularly if you're going to have expensive tickets. So, even more than that, it's not just that the fans need to have hope. The players need to not give up on the enterprise.
Yeah.
And we have no idea of knowing what a loss tonight to the Mavs would do to the feelings of Ja, Jaren, and Dez. And we have no idea knowing how that would be changed by a subsequent series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But it is not crazy to think that you get bounced from the playoffs tonight after what happened last year, after just a generally kind of troubled year this year, troubled back half of the year, certainly, this year. If you're one of those players, you might be thinking, yeah, maybe it's time for a fresh start. Again, we have no idea if knowing if that's where any of this would lead, but I do think it's a legitimate concern, and one of the things that should be factored into why, in the end, I want them to win. But fundamentally, winning's fun. I'm going to be there tonight. Again, tickets are still available, and you can be there tonight, and you can hate Klay Thompson. That's always fun, right?
I mean, we got to give it. Was it Sarah?
Sarah, yeah.
She, I got to give it. That's such a good point.
Yeah. Like, she said, Sarah
it's like
said,
losing to the Warriors twice.
Losing to Klay Thompson, it would be freaking miserable. And so in the end, that carried a lot of weight with me. Ja Morant, as expected, will be, according to Isolo, a legitimate game time decision. What happens is you turn your ankle. Any of you who've turned your ankle, which is probably all of us,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody's once turned their ankle.
I missed a step on Sunday.
So there you go. You feel it.
Yep.
And then you try to walk it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it was a sprain.
Go to your happy place.
You go, but
as
yeah.
Reggie Miller told us.
And then you go to bed, mm-hmm. and then you wake up, and then you see how it is.
Uh-huh.
And he was, by all accounts, and Chris will join us here in a minute, limping around yesterday at practice. And so legit. Did not participate in practice.
Which, duh, but.
So I don't know what we expect there. As Chris pointed out in his piece, which you can read at the Daily Memphian, if it's not Ja, obviously Scottie Pippen would start. Unclear if Ja does start, if Scottie Pippen will start alongside him or if they go Vince. If there's no Ja, then you got Bane and Jackson versus Klay Thompson and Anthony Davis. The young gun, the middle-aged guns. They're not young guns anymore.
Yeah.
Here's one question I had, by the way, because at some point he used the phrase the core three. And I think someone else in his piece. Here's a question that I never would have asked before. And maybe this is a topic for another day. We used to think of the core four as, hey, gutty, admirable group, limited upside, right?
Yeah.
That's what we thought of. Let's pair the core four down to the core three, the players who made all-star teams.
All right.
Okay, who ultimately at least made an all-star game. Z-Bo, Mark, and Mike.
Yep.
Versus Ja, Dez, and Jaren. It has been, at least in my mind, sort of accepted wisdom that the most recent core three, more skilled, higher upside, more likely to take you to an NBA Finals, more even though that other one, more likely to take, really, will they do it? Who knows? Whatever. But it's a more talented, higher upside, better group. Is it?
I don't know. That's a fascinating question because
I don't know that it is.
Let's go player by player. Now, I think something to consider is the problem with the core four is the core four's peak is in the super team era.
Yeah, but put the errors aside. Who's better players?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like so part of why you can have higher aspirations.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in that. I'm just saying who's better. I get that you could have higher aspirations for this one because there's not.
I mean,
a
super team. Let's go player by player. Ja versus Mike. I think if you're doing the potential,
Ja's better.
Ja's better, but Mike played.
That's the thing. I think what you're gonna. I think what's gonna happen here is. What's funny is they're sort of similar. So you've got the guards, right?
Yep.
And John's very clearly a higher ceiling. Mike's there every day.
Yes.
Of course he wasn't all the time, but Mike, he had his own
injury surgery.
But he played a lot. You never wondered. It was not an active, when you were going to the game, you're like, God, I wonder if Mike's playing tonight. Like it wasn't like something you just always thought of no matter what, right?
Totally agree.
Then you got,
I mean,
you got
Mike,
Jaren, and Mark.
In 08, 09, 82 games. 09, 010, 9 and 10, 80 games. 10, 11, 81 games. 62 and 11 and 12. But by the way, we would take 62 games of Ja.
That'd be upside. You'd lock it in.
12, 13, 80 games. The next season, 73 games. 70 games. 56, though. 69.
Again, you'd probably take 56.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, okay, but that's fine. That's showing up every game in the regular season. The problem is it also is true of the playoffs.
Like he broke his face and played.
Right. So he always played. So then there's Mark versus Jaren, both defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Both all-star. I honestly think basically the same level player. Different players, obviously.
They got it. They get there in different ways, but and also the same complaints. Doesn't rebound.
Yeah, but with Mark, it just felt it was always just like he just lets Zebo get just, the rebounds. He can rebound. Right. He just lets him get the rebound.
He would block out for Zach. But yes, they're very similar players.
Very. I mean, Mark is a brilliant passer. Jaren was not a brilliant passer, you know. But same tier.
I think Jaren one-on-one offensively is probably a little better.
Yeah. Same. But, and is a more much more versatile defender than Mark ever was, right?
Yeah.
And then you got the burly dudes, you know? And then you got Zebo and Dez, and I think you got to give Peak Zebo was one of the 10 best players in the world in that playoff series.
Yeah.
Dez has never been that.
Dez was pretty good in the Minnesota series. Like him and Brandon Clark won the Minnesota series. He played better in the
Lakers. What's funny to me is this is close. I never thought it would be close.
You can make an argument the other three are better.
And then you throw in the fact that the other three were just always with the other three, they were always there. And they weren't always there, of course. Mark broke his foot. Zebo got hurt too. Like they were mostly there, and you knew that they were going to fight like hell.
I think this is the thing: if the guys were breaking their foot or whatnot, like
no one would say, right? Exactly.
It's the you got a boo boo.
It's the soreness, and some of that's just the era they played in.
Yes, I acknowledge that. But this is what's annoying to me is they don't the franchise doesn't acknowledge that that is part of why when everyone's like we're winning and nobody comes out
it corrodes interest and faith in the team in 100%.
They will not acknowledge that at all.
Well, yeah, I think they might acknowledge it off the record, and they're not going to whatever. Like I think it does corrode interest in the team if you don't know who the hell's going to play and it doesn't seem to matter to them. This is why, by the way, tonight. There's no question. They don't have Brandon Clark. They don't have Jalen Wells. They're diminished, right?
Yep.
They are diminished. They're not at their best selves. You've got your three. Well, and hell, we may not have Ja.
Yeah. Who knows?
You may not have Ja. And by the way, this is not one. It's a boo-boo. You know, Ja.
No,
is,
we saw this one.
We saw this one, and we saw him try to play through this one. We know he wants to play in this one. But you got against the series, presumably the series, if we get to against Oklahoma City, you got your three best players. Go be fierce, you know? Go be fierce. I want to see that. And they very clearly fought their asses off the other night, ultimately unsuccessful. But I have no doubt they're going to be fighting their asses off tonight. And I hope they win because I think the alternative is just so deflating. Plus, winning's fun.
Yes.
Right?
I hope we have a meaningless Sunday game. And then we're on a game two.
Won't be meaningless. Won't be meaningless.
I don't have high hopes for if they play Sunday.
They did this once.
I know.
Won game six. What was it? And then they went to Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Was it a game seven against the Clippers? And then they won that Sunday.
They won game six on Friday night, Sunday.
And then they stunned them on Sunday and won game one.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City. Astonishing. History repeat. All that could happen by the time we talk to you next on Monday. Plus, you know, Easter and everything.
Yeah, he's risen.
If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to look. I can say that with total sincerity. Because when Claire was looking for a place, when her son Conroy was looking for a place, where did I point him? Immediately to Leaders Credit Union. Putting literally their money where my mouth is. It is Leaders Credit Union. It's a credit union. And so they are, they're not having nothing has to go to the stockholders somewhere. Every single dollar gets poured back into better rates.